Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Columbus City Council this week agreed to contribute $50 million for infrastructure improvements at the proposed downtown site for a new Columbus Crew Stadium. The city funds would go to infrastructure and also help redevelop the existing stadium site into a community recreation park. Columbus Business First reporter Emily Bench has been covering the news. She joins us now. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Ann. Thanks for having me.
Give us a thumbnail of the two projects at hand. Let's start with the new stadium plan downtown in the Arena District. What are they looking at?
Yeah, absolutely. So this new project, which was just announced publicly last week, will essentially create a what they're calling a Columbus Crew Arena west of the Arena District. So it's potentially going to go on land owned by Nationwide Realty Investors. And that will include a stadium, which right now is looking to cost around $230 million. And around that, there will be private development, which will include residential properties. That is considered what will be called Confluence Village. And there will also be some commercial properties as well around there. So right now, the numbers are really in flux since this was just announced last week. So some days we're getting reports of numbers and then, you know, by the next day they'll change. But right now, what we're seeing, according to my conversations with city officials, that right now the private investor group, which is made up of Cleveland Browns owners Jimmy and Dee Haslam and the local Edwards family, and that is led by the Crew doctor and also orthopedic surgeon Pete Edwards. They are going to be investing what we're looking at right now to be $400 million. So that broken down is around $150 million to purchase the team, around $150 million for the stadium. So that's how much they're investing, not necessarily how much the stadium will cost.
Uh-huh.
And then they're going to be giving $53 million over 30 years in the form of philanthropy to the neighborhood surrounding Moffray Stadium.
The existing stadium,
yep,
right?
The existing stadium. And then we're thinking the rest will go to development around Confluence Village.
Is there a timeline for all of this?
Well, a timeline for the deal, yes. So they have to have a deal get together and turned into MLS by December 31st. So they have to move very quickly on this. And that's part of the reason why things keep changing, because when I spoke to the CEO of the Columbus Partnership, Alex Fisher, who is leading all of these negotiations, he said that they basically have to do over a year's worth of work within, you know, a month or so. So they're really trying to cram this all in before December 31st.
Mm. The city council approved $50 million this week, assuming, I guess it's contingent on all these deals going
yes,
through and so forth.
On that.
But the $50 million goes to like sewer lines, that kind of thing.
So the $50 million kind of is broken up into two different things. So the $50 million, which is coming out of this capital dollars for the city, mm-hmm. most of that will be actually going to redeveloping the old stadium,
okay.
Moffray Stadium.
Right.
So about $35 million of that, from what we know, will go towards that. And then the remaining part will be, yes, infrastructure and development of the Crew Stadium. So no city dollars will be going into actually building the stadium itself. It's going to go into stuff like, yes, water lines.
Confluence Village thing, that kind of thing.
Yes.
Okay. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. This hour, we're talking about plans for a new soccer stadium in Columbus and also redevelopment of the existing Moffray Stadium site over by 71 and 17th. My guest is Emily Bench. She's a Columbus Business First reporter. She's been covering this issue. If you have any questions about the plans, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We are going to have an opponent or somebody who represents opponents of this plan on the program later. We'll also have city officials, you know, from Parks and Rec and also the city auditor to talk about, you know, the cost benefit analysis of this and what the plans are for the rec center. If you want to weigh in on whether this is a good idea or not, we welcome those comments as well. The email address is allsides@wosu.org, and you can check out our Facebook page too. In all, the total price tag is expected to exceed $645 million. And that's included, as you said, purchasing the team, transforming the Moffray site, and building the new stadium. Mm-hmm. What more do we know about as far – it's kind of like they call it like mixed use, the residential and commercial area around it. Is there anything – has anyone seen any pictures?
Not so far. What we have, any kind of renderings that are publicly available right now, mostly just show the arena, the crew arena. And then if you see the rendering from an aerial perspective, you can see where the Confluence Village area will go, which will be, I'm thinking, to the left of the arena, if I'm correct. But that's kind of all we have right now. We do know that 20% of that area is supposed to be dedicated to affordable housing. So it's not all supposed to be just very expensive high-rise apartments for people. It should be affordable.
The Ohio House on Wednesday passed legislation that included $15 million to help build the new stadium. That's right. Am I right about that? Is it for the stadium? Is it for something other than the stadium?
So what I've been told right now, according to city officials, is that, yes, $15 million has been granted from the state of Ohio, and that will be going towards infrastructure and public improvements of the arena.
So not that, the arena itself?
Not as far as I know, no.
And now that goes before the Senate, right?
Yes.
It's not a done deal, but it has been tacked onto a bill that's expected to pass,
exactly,
as they are wont to do in a lame duck session. Attendance at Crew games has been mediocre at best, all things being equal. The Crew ranks near or at the bottom of attendance every year. How does the move downtown, what are they saying about how that changes the equation?
Yeah, so per, you know, different MLS officials and people who are working on this project, they're saying that in a modern American city, having a downtown stadium increases participation in attendance for games. And I'm not quite sure how they've come up with that, but that's what they have said multiple times. They said at the press conference even last week. And Mafre Stadium is fairly close to downtown, but it's not downtown. And it's surrounded by mostly just residential properties. There's no bars or restaurants or shops that people can go to around the area. So they're hoping that this new kind of anchor in the arena district, which is a pretty thriving area with bars and restaurants, will hopefully attract more people. And, you know, our website does polling, and this isn't scientific polling. We're just trying to get a feel for our readership. But mm-hmm. most of the readers, after our news broke last week about this, they said that this, you know, inspired them to go to more games. And hopefully this will kind of build a camaraderie in the Columbus community, according to the people who are working on the deal, of course, that this could inspire more people to come out to games and increase the attendance. Because if you see something like this, this has only happened in Columbus so far as we know. And that will hopefully get people excited about the team and the league.
So your readership, it's mostly business people, people plugged into business. It's pretty special demographic.
Yeah.
Outside of your readership, what kind of response has this gotten out there? Mixed? What?
Well, since since I'm only interacting really with my readership, I couldn't really speak
to that. But there is opposition.
There's always opposition, especially when it's coming to, from what I've seen in my coverage, if it has to do anything with some kind of a arena or stadium, it seems to be opponents do come through the cracks and voice what they're thinking, for
mm-hmm.
sure.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Charlotte in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Charlotte.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. People, pro or con, can express their opinions to Mayor Ginther's mayor's policy line at area code 614-645-7671.
So what do you think, Charlotte?
I'm opposed to it. I live in Linden. A couple of years ago, they spent the whole summer assessing our subterranean infrastructure. They went back 3-4 times with those borescopes. I'm sure there's photographic documentation. Linden cannot get basic infrastructure, but you want me to pony up for bread and circuses. I'm not on that bandwagon.
Okay, Charlotte, thanks for your call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yep. Anybody else out there want to voice your opinion on this? Today's the day, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. We're going to get more details later on in the program, but could you tell us a little bit right now about what they're talking about redeveloping the Mott Frey Stadium site into at this point?
Yes. So that is planned to be led majorly by the city. So like I said, that $50 million that the city of Columbus will be contributing to all of this is mostly going to the redevelopment here. It's going to be turned into a community sports park. So they're thinking indoor and outdoor sports park. They're going to have soccer fields, indoor facilities as well. And that is to be pegged around $35 million redevelopment of the area. And there, you know, the area that Mott Frey Stadium is, like we said, it's surrounded by residential areas, and most of them are lower income areas. You're talking about Linden, Old North Columbus, Milo Grogan are all within a 3-mile radius, and most of them don't have a lot of access to public parks and recreation areas that are in a close vicinity. So they're hoping that this will be a great ability to get people out and active and moving and coming to a place that's close to home for them, where they don't have to drive very far to get to soccer practice. Or
is there any talk about the Haslam family and their interest in the park in terms of a training site for the Cleveland Browns?
For the Cleveland Browns, no.
Okay.
The Mott Frey Stadium site will become a training facility for the Crew. So
yep.
Right now they
okay.
practice out in Obetz, and that training facility will be moved up to the Mott Frey Stadium.
Any feedback from Obetz on that plan?
No, not that I know
they
of.
They haven't said anything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What do you know about the sort of economic impact that the city expects from this?
Yeah, so that is supposed to be bringing in quite a bit of economic impact based on their projections. It's supposed to bring in, I think, around $900 million in economic impact. It's supposed to bring a lot of jobs to the area, whether that's for the arena, for Confluence Village, or for the surrounding commercial properties as well. So there's going to be around 885 residential units, and there's going to be 270,000 square feet of commercial and office space. So that's going to bring a lot of jobs to the area.
Kim in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Kim.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I am opposed to this whole idea.
Okay.
Going back historically into the 1990s, ever since issue has been put on the ballot, that sports arenas have been voted down in Columbus. And if we can afford this amount of money, I'd also like to know why in the world Nationwide can't fix its own Nationwide stadium, because now they're also asking for a separate tax on tickets to go everywhere to fix the Nationwide arena. I'm really tired of sports ruling this, and we don't get back whatever impact they say, the $990 million. We never get that back. We always, we have to do a little bit more in the sports area, but we'll get back so much more, and we don't.
Just to clarify something that you said, Kim, the ticket tax issue, that would... Any money that goes to fix Nationwide or for infrastructure improvements and upkeep comes from the ticket tax at Nationwide. It wouldn't be coming from tickets, tax revenue from other tickets. Am I right, Emily Bench?
Yes. Yeah. So I have covered the ticket tax saga for the past couple months now. And based on what was voted, even just this week at City Council, there are two different funds. So there will be one ticket tax that will be charged for Nationwide arena events. That's Blue Jackets, concerts, whatever, in Nationwide Arena. The proceeds from that will go back towards Nationwide Arena improvements. And there will be a separate tax on other events outside of Nationwide Arena, and that's going to go back to the Arts Council. So say you go to this new Crew Arena and there's a tax on those tickets, which I'm not sure of the workings of that yet, but that will not go back towards Nationwide Arena. The city council made that pretty clear that they wanted those two things separately.
Okay. But Kim, duly noted, you oppose the stadium. Thank you very much for your call. You said it's not clear yet whether the ticket tax will be charged to soccer event for the new Crew Stadium.
Yes, since all of this isn't even an official deal yet, it would be pretty soon to say if that would be part of the ticket tax.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We are going to take a quick break. We're talking about plans to redevelop the Mott Frey soccer stadium site in Columbus into a city recreational area, and also to build the plans to build a new $230 million arena in downtown Columbus, west of the Arena District. I guess I keep thinking of it as an expansion of the Arena District. Yeah. It's sort of what it would look like, right, Emily?
Yeah, absolutely. So from people I've talked to, I've tried to make sure that our terminology is right. It is technically in the Arena District.
Yeah. They're just calling
property,
it something different.
Yeah, the property is considered what people are calling Arena West, but it is part inside the Arena District.
Okay. That's Emily Bench. She's Columbus Business First reporter. She'll be staying with us. We want to get your questions and comments. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. We're talking about plans for a new Columbus Crew Stadium and redevelopment of the current stadium site into a community recreation park. Coming up, the Columbus City Auditor and the Director of the Recreation and Parks Department will join us to talk about more of the details of those plans. Still with us is Columbus Business First reporter Emily Bench. Victor Matheson teaches economics at the College of the Holy Cross in Massachusetts, and he studies the economic impact of sports events and venues. He joins us by phone. Welcome back, Victor.
Well, thank you for having me.
And also with us, Michael Ganadakis. He's spokesman for Advocates for Responsible Taxation. It's a grassroots coalition dedicated to opposing taxpayer funding of professional sports teams. Welcome back, Michael.
And thanks for having me.
Why do you oppose the city's plans for infrastructure improvements around the stadium site and also the recreational park?
Great question. And to be very clear, I don't know anyone that does not support the Crew. I'm for the Crew. God bless the men and women who worked tirelessly to save the Crew. They did an amazing job, unheard of in our nation what they did. So hats off to them. What our focus is the $100 million, 50 from the city and 50 million from the county, that the checks were cut and they're going to go to the Crew. And, you know, people will argue and say, well, it's not really going to the Crew. It's going to infrastructure, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but not for the Crew going there. They wouldn't spend $100 million on that vacant lot where the casino was originally going to go many, many years ago. Our issue is priorities. Let's look at where we are as a city. Our schools, unfortunately, received an F rating. You know, we have infant mortality rates that are unacceptable. We have many issues in our city facing us now. And, you know, it just seems consistent and constant that our city leaders and our county leaders are talking about the lack of funds in our local government fund or the lack of funds to do things. But then in the matter of 5, 6, 7 days, they just find $50 million, each $100 million total of our countywide tax dollars, city, county, to just throw at the Crew there. You know, where's the public input on this? We just make these decisions in a vacuum and off we go without looking at the unintended consequences.
Victor Matheson, is the process by – not the process, but the tax that the city's taking in looking at infrastructure improvements and calling it that kind of a thing and redeveloping the Mott Frey Stadium site into a city park, that kind of a thing. Michael Ganadakis says it all just translates into, if not for the Crew moving, they would not be doing this. It's for the Crew. Is it typical the way the city's going about this?
Well, I think they're certainly doing it a smart way politically. It certainly sounds a lot better saying, hey, I'm going to be putting public money into infrastructure that we can all benefit from, rather than saying I'm just giving a 50 or 100, or actually, Michael forgot about the other $15 million that
the state
approved yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about $115 million in total subsidy for that. It's about 50% of the total cost of the stadium. That's about typical for Major League Soccer. It's right in what we've been seeing for the last about 10 years for mm-hmm. MLS stadiums. That being said, it, you know, like Michael says, it's totally out of line for what we see with essentially any other business. You know, you open up a restaurant in Columbus, the city never steps in and says, "Hey, you know, people love going out to eat. How about we pay for half of your restaurant?" oh, you know, people love going shopping. Why don't we pay for half the construction cost of your gallery? You know, we just don't see that. And somehow when it comes to sports, we seem to lose our mind in a way that we don't with all sorts of other, you know, regular businesses. And remember, this is just essentially an entertainment business. It's something that we all love, but there's lots of other ways to spend our entertainment dollars as well.
But the city or public political subdivisions, whether it's the state, the city, the county, or whatever, are doing things like tax increment financing for development. They're giving tax there's tax incentives for development. It's not as if city and public money, I should say, isn't spent all the time on all kinds of development. Victor, what's the difference?
Oh, no, you're exactly right. And we do see this happen all the time. What is different about sports is the magnitude and the length of the financing. So, okay, for example, the stadium almost certainly will be publicly owned in such a way that it won't pay property tax ever for the life of the stadium. We don't see that when you build a new restaurant district where, you know, you might give 5 years of sales tax or property tax reductions for an area, but you don't see this happening for, you know, a life of a restaurant. And we don't see the amount saying, well, look, we're going to cover 50% of the total cost of developing new businesses in an area. You might throw them, you know, 5-10%. You might throw them a few years of a tax benefit. But the amount that we throw to sports teams is probably an order of magnitude more than we see in most other sort of economic development benefits.
Michael Ganadakis, you're also concerned about the public input piece of this. You don't think there was enough?
There was zero, really. I mean, they had their obligatory one hearing 3 or 4 days before they voted on it. And when you go to City Hall, I've learned, you get 3 minutes to speak, and that's it. And you might get called on, you might not. So that's window dressing at best. And there was no sitting down with community leaders, civic associations, and saying, you know, hey, wait a minute, is this the right thing to do? Are we doing this appropriately? Emily does a great job covering City Hall, and I hope she would agree that it's very limited public input. You know, they say we're going to have a hearing, but the clock starts running, and when that beeper goes off, you're done.
And you're saying that's pretty typical of anything the city council does?
It does. And generally speaking, even with the ticket tax, I mean, which we oppose too, which will apply to the crew, by the way. So all the Save the Crew people, the cost of your ticket just went up 5%. You know, there's very little input from City Hall. These decisions are consistently appear to be made behind closed doors without sitting down and evaluating the cost and doing a cost-benefit analysis.
Yeah, Emily Bench, what do we know about what city council did to prepare for that vote and make that decision?
Well, I know that before city council, there were meetings with city council members and city auditor, mayor's office. And then that's on the public side. And then on the private side, you're looking at Columbus Partnership, Alex Fisher, who's been meeting with the private investor group basically since that announcement in October. So I have not necessarily been told specifics on that, but I do know that up until that city council point, there have been meetings.
Yeah, Michael?
And to add on to what Emily said, she's 100% correct. Out of nowhere came the county with $50 million. There was no article saying the county was considering, poof, you know, $50 million from the city. And, oh, by the way, it was like a footnote. And here's another $50 million from the county.
But county hasn't voted on that yet?
They will vote on that next week.
Right. Okay.
And it is important to note that this kind of a funding process that the county is going through, is they've done this similar thing for Bridge Park and other large development projects, mm-hmm. like you have said. So this funding isn't necessarily just pulled from the sky specifically for Crew Stadium.
And Bridge Park, that's in Dublin,
yes,
right?
Yes, that is a development project, right, that's going on in Dublin.
Victor Matheson, what do we know about what kind of impact a new stadium like this can have on an economy? I mean, is there any equation out there that we turn to?
Yeah, so we do know, and we've been studying this for about 20 years, and so we have a lot of data on this. So we do know that stadiums tend to be associated with significant neighborhood effects. So you're likely to see increases in property values and property tax collections directly in the neighborhood of new stadiums and arenas. But that is a very localized effect. So within roughly half a mile of the stadium, you don't see much affection there at all. So any economist looking at this would say, yeah, it's very likely that the stadium will spur this extra development in the arena district here. However, when we look at, when we, you know, kind of go back farther and look kind of at region-wide or city-wide or metropolitan-wide effects, we see essentially no, either very low or zero economic impact. Because remember, what's really going on here is if we assume the crew is going to stay no matter what you're doing is you're spending $230 million to move economic activity about, 2.5 miles to the south from one stadium to another. Even if we assume the crew was going to leave without a huge public contribution to a new stadium, even then, most of the people at a crew game are local Columbus residents, and they're spending their money there rather than elsewhere in the local economy. So, yeah, the crew building a new stadium is good for the arena district, but maybe you know that just relocates economic activity to the arena district from, say, the brewery district a couple miles south or other places where people can spend their entertainment dollars.
Michael Ganadakis, you're also concerned about, as you put it, unintended consequences. What do you mean by that?
Well, here's what I mean by that. And a caller earlier alluded to it about the Linden area. You know, because finances, according to the city and county, are tight, you know, when we take our limited dollars that we have for infrastructure, and the return on the investment, as Victor said, and I'll leave the economics to him if he's the expert, but you're not seeing a return on the investment. You just won't see it. You know, we're supposed to be, they keep talking about new jobs. Well, those new jobs aren't going to generate the $115 or $100 million that we're investing forever. We're never going to get an ROI on that, number one. Number two, you know, they talked a lot about, oh, we're going to have affordable housing in this new stadium area. Come on, they're going to go maybe from $1,800 a month rent to maybe $1,200 and call that affordable. There's not going to be Section 8 housing. Not going to be Section 8 housing over at the new Crew Stadium.
Well, Emily Bench, is there a definition for what they mean by affordable housing?
There actually isn't. All we know right now is that 20% will be set aside for affordable housing.
Quote unquote affordable housing.
A single mom with two kids will not be able to afford a house or apartment or whatever it is at the new Crew Stadium.
Sandy in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Sandy.
Hi. I'm very interested in this topic. Frankly, this city does not do anything for the people unless there's some big profit motive, payoff for the private enterprise or private individuals. So my question is, and this last panel has really addressed some of these things, but who in particular stands to gain the most profit from this project?
Who, Emily Bench, who's the beneficiary of all this ultimately?
That's a good question. I don't know if I can answer that.
Mm-hmm. Michael Ganadakis, you want to take a swipe?
I'll take a swipe. You know, I mean, it's just one man's opinion here, but I think billionaire Jimmy Haslam is going to benefit the most because
it's less. Browns
owner. He paid $1 billion to buy the Browns. He owns Flying Pilot J. That's a $1 billion company. And instead of having to put $115 million more of his own money in to build the Crew Stadium, he got the taxpayers to kick in $115. So on its face, it appears the billionaire owner Jimmy Haslam will benefit the most. Mm.
And Victor Matheson, you have thoughts about who tends to benefit from these kinds of projects?
Yeah, there's no doubt that the crew will be generating more revenue at a new stadium. The old crew stadium, Mapfre, is really behind the times in some ways compared to what we've seen. It was built for $29 million. That's, you know, you'll be able to build about one section of the new stadium for what the entire stadium cost back when the Crew Stadium was the first soccer specific stadium. This will be a place that will attract a higher attendance. You'll be able to get people to pay more money when they come, and you'll be able to sell them more stuff when they are at the stadium. So there is no doubt that this new stadium will generate significant more revenue for the owners. And, of course, the less they have to pay out of their own pocket to build that new revenue-generating stadium, the better off they are.
I do think, Anne, that it's important to note that, yes, we do have these public inputs from the city and from the county. But when you're comparing that, also you have to compare that to what the private investors are putting in. And that's significantly more when you're breaking it down. I mean, you're looking at a $400 million investment versus a $50 investment from the city. That's not really going towards a new stadium. It's going towards Mapfre or 45. It's actually $45 million is what the county is putting in, not 50. When you're comparing those two numbers, you're looking at the Haslams and the Edwards families will be giving $150 million just to purchase the team and $150 million on that for the new stadium. So they are giving a significant amount of money. They're not just saying, I'm going to give
it's
a couple million and let
public.
Let the public do the rest.
Kaida in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hey, Ann. This is Kaida.
Hi. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Hi, Kaida.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I just wanted to add a little bit. I think this is a great move. I think I hear all the other people talking about it and their concerns, but I think the way I look at this issue is it's really a much bigger play for our city in terms of entertainment and our city becoming more of a global metropolis. And what is that? You know, what does that footprint look like? I think having a major sports team and keeping that here and keeping it more downtown makes a lot of sense.
Okay. Kaida, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. And Bill in New Albany. Bill, you're on the air. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Ann. Thanks.
Yeah.
I started working here about 13 months ago, and I've sort of been scratching my head since then about why they didn't put the stadium downtown to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a fabulous place to work. That's, you know, I work down in the Arena District myself. I'd love to be able to go to Crew games or after work, especially since I've already paid for the parking. I know everybody can't get that benefit. But and I wanted to throw in an observation about one of your panelists' comment there about single mom with two kids not being able to afford the housing down there after the stadium is built.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that's really affordable for them right now. That's why I'm living out in New Albany, because the apartments out here are much more affordable.
Okay. So
that's what I wanted to share. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it. Michael Ganadakis, before I let you go, you also talked about in your criticisms about long-term situational aspects to consider. So what are your long-term feelings about this? And what do you think?
Here's the biggest fear. These arguments that are being made on why we need to spend public money today is the same arguments that were made when we needed to build Nationwide Arena to bring the Blue Jackets in. Voters said no, not once, not twice, three or so or more times. They said, no, we don't want to build Nationwide Arena. Private companies came in and built it on their own. Lo and behold, today, 2018, we own Nationwide Arena. And I'm willing to bet you right now, a cheeseburger, that in about 8-9 years, you're going to have me back on this program, and we're going to be talking about how taxpayers have to bail out the Crew Stadium because the economics just don't work anymore, and we can't let this falter. Same arguments that was made for Nationwide Arena. That's what we fear. So instead of rushing to pass legislation at city and county level to do this, where's the economic impact statement? Where's the long-term viability of a Crew soccer that's generating 10,000 people, only 10,000 on average people a match currently now? Are we sure that this is an investment that if the Haslams walked away in 10 so years, do we have to pick up that tab as taxpayers?
And Victor Matheson, you agree or not that that's something to think about?
Yeah, that's certainly a concern, particularly in Columbus, where you already have been burned once by the what looked like an entirely privately financed facility that all of a sudden turned into a completely publicly financed facility when the previous owners couldn't make the payments, basically. So that's certainly a concern. Maybe not as much of a concern here. We know the Haslams have fairly deep pockets. We know that they have committed a bunch of their own money to this project. But again, I think that's a valid concern. What happens if 10 years down the way, you're looking for a new ownership group? And what if we see the honeymoon, kind of go off the rose here? We've seen that before. We know that for the first few seasons at this new stadium, the attendance is going to be fantastic. We see this again and again across all sports and across all teams in MLS.
Mm-hmm.
But that honeymoon effect tends to only last maybe 5 to 10 years, and what if 5 to 10 years down the way you're looking at back down to the 10,000 rather than the 20,000 sort of attendance, and that makes all those bills harder to pay.
Victor Matheson, I want to thank you for joining us. I appreciate your time.
Thank you very much for having me.
That's Victor Matheson. He's an economics professor at the College of the Holy Cross in Massachusetts, and he also specializes in the economics of sports investments. And also, Michael Ganadakis, thanks to you as well.
Thank you, and your show's fantastic.
Michael Ganadakis, chief spokesman for the Advocates for Responsible Taxation, which opposes city spending on anything to do with this new proposed development in the Arena District and also redevelopment of the Mapfre Stadium site in Linden area. Emily Bench will stay with us from Columbus Businesses First. I hope you will, too. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. We're talking about plans for a new Columbus Crew Stadium and redevelopment of the current Mapfre Stadium site into a community recreation park. Still with us is Columbus Business First reporter Emily Bench. Joining us now, Executive Director of the City of Columbus Recreation and Parks Department, Tony Collins. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
And also joining us, Columbus City Auditor Megan Kilgore. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Megan, give us some insight into how the funding piece of this was developed and how it fits in.
Sure.
How the city makes these decisions.
Absolutely. You know, anytime we have an economic development project that comes to our table, we have to look at it from various lenses. The lens that my office looks at it from is the financial lens. Tony Collins will look at it, of course, what does that mean to his platform for good recreation and parks? City Attorney's Office will look at it from the legal eyes and so forth. So the financing component of this came together just like any other transaction. You have developers, you have an interest from the Haslam family and the Edwards families to buy the Crew. So what does that need? What needs to happen in order for us to actually bring a stadium downtown, meet all of the standards required of Major League Soccer, and be able to create a development surrounding the stadium that makes this project worthwhile? And so multiple iterations, that's the short answer. Where we are today is the result is a draft memorandum of understanding that allows the City of Columbus to, just as we would any other large-scale development, provide the necessary infrastructure, meaning things like utilities.
Sidewalks.
Sidewalks, land acquisition, parks. And various other public improvements necessary to be able to support a large-scale development. Think about the number of individuals that are going to be walking to the stadium. But more importantly, from the topic of, you know, economic impact to the city, what I'm most excited about, absolutely the commercial development, the residential development. And as a citizen, I'm most excited about the redevelopment of Mapfre, which is the site, of course, where the Columbus Crew currently plays. And that's what Mr. Collins has been working on.
Hmm. All right. So, Tony Collins, what are we talking about here? What's this place going to be like?
We're really excited about what this partnership, this idea brings to the current Mapfre site, which we envision to be a Columbus Community Sports Park, which will serve as a neighborhood community park for almost over 200,000 residents. Live within a 3-mile access point of the park. And then in addition to that, of course, this will provide an incredible opportunity for us to provide services to our kids and adults in the community and a park setting, a sports park with athletic fields, indoor athletic complex, serving thousands of our Columbus families and adults and kids. And then we do intend it to help fund it through destination events, sports tourism, tournaments, events like that, like we do at Berliner, to help fund our operations to provide for our kids in Columbus.
I think we talked earlier about it increasing property values in the area. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering about, is there a calculation that either of you make for how this prices people out of their homes too, the gentrification piece of that, Megan Kilgore?
Yeah, that's a great question. And this site, we have to look at it, you know, two different ways. Number one, you have the Mapfre site, which if you think about, if the crew were to move out of Columbus, that site would be a dinosaur.
Yeah, you know, just sit there.
It just sit there. And it's such an important location because you think about the geographical confluence of both the Ohio State University Gateway. You have the gateway to Linden, and it's one of the most visible sites off of 71. We all see it as we're driving downtown or we're driving home. So number one, that site to not be redeveloped and to just be there barren, that would have been a major concern. Number two, the existing site that is contemplated right now for the new stadium, that has not been developed in numerous years. It's been sitting there and it's been poised for development. But because of some of the transportation logistics issues, you think about that site being right there with 315 and 670. We really needed to have the right type of development present itself. And you ask an important question earlier, which is how this all came to be. It really took, you know, three different buckets. You had to have a local ownership that was interested and come to the table with, frankly, the personal equity necessary in order to buy a spectacular Major League Soccer team.
So you're talking about the Haslams and the Edwards.
Correct. Okay. That was a huge window of opportunity. Number two is you had to have the appropriate financing come together, meaning the commercial, some residential support and so forth necessary because you look at I've been in the private sector. I've been in the public sector. I've worked on a lot of various economic development, major transactions. The success of a sports arena often lies in its surrounding built environment. And having the ability to help craft that to make that area successful is extremely important to the city of Columbus right now and to our partners at Franklin County. And you also have the legal, which is the third bucket, which has been really dictated by the MLS and some of our community partners. So all three buckets have to be able to blend together, and that's been this window of opportunity. A lot of folks have asked, why so quickly? And that's very simply because up until just a few weeks ago, this was not even a possibility. And if, as a governmental administrator, if a window of opportunity presents itself where someone's bringing to the table a significant capital investment in our city, we would be foolish not to take advantage of that. And affordability was one of the tenets that the mayor, Director Collins, Council President Shannon Hardin, and myself had that we were committed to. And so you're going to see part of the memorandum of understanding requires affordable housing to be built.
What do we mean by affordable housing?
The workforce development housing, that's a definition set by the mayor's office. I want to ask Tony Collins if maybe you can speak to that because I don't want to get the affordability incorrect.
You know, and I'd love to offer, I've not been involved with the affordable housing piece. Okay. I've been focused on the community
sports
park side.
Let me ask you this, and we'll, you know, this isn't the last conversation we'll have about this, but let me ask you this, Tony Collins. As far as the park goes, it is pretty a lot of low-income housing in that area around Mapfre. Is this going to be the kind of park that people who live there now can afford to go to? Are they people who already have kids on teams that are going to be able to participate there? Is this accessible financially to everybody?
And that's the key. That's absolutely critical. And I love that question because that's actually why we're doing this. Because first and foremost, it's going to be a free park, just like all of our parks. You'll be able to walk through the park. You'll be able to access the space just like any other neighborhood park. That's our vision. Just like any other, if we have athletic fields up on the northeast part of the city, or right now you can go into Berliner Park and walk down the trail, the Scioto Trail. So you'll have neighborhood access to a park that wasn't there before, which we'll work on connectivity as a part of this plan and getting folks from all of the neighborhoods to the park like we do with all of our parks. The second piece of it, we know in our profession that youth sports access has declined, youth sports participation has declined by almost 10% because of accessibility, because of costs. And I think that's what you're referring to.
Already.
This type of facility is going to lift up that access because we're going to be able to provide these opportunities to Columbus kids in their neighborhoods. They're going to be able to come down the street and play in a tournament. They don't have to drive out to a suburban community or access a club team. We'll be able to use the dollars raised through this operation to provide these opportunities for the kids in the neighborhoods. So absolutely, this will actually increase access for our kids.
Let's see. I want to get to some calls. Keith in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Keith.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Yes, I very much was interested in listening to today's program. And one of the call-ups I had was the two guests in their closing comments.
In the last segment, yeah.
Yeah, mentioned the word 10,000 to describe attendance.
Yeah.
And that's certainly significantly less than what attendance was after the honeymoon period, as they described it, in the current stadium.
Okay.
Even in 2018, which was the entire season was played with a hostile ownership group, mm-hmm. Attendance was about 12,500. And then in 2017, where we know that they were already working to actively look at moving, mm-hmm. attendance was over 15,000. And then before that, it was higher. Even going back, you would have to go. Really, there's no season where attendance was 10,000. So
Okay.
You think they were being out there other okay. numbers? Yeah.
All right. Well, I appreciate you calling in, Keith, with that. It's good to know. And thanks a lot for your call. Yeah, Megan Kilgore.
I'm going to share a little bit of background. Many of the listeners, and certainly yourself, Ann, remember my predecessor, the longtime city auditor
Hugh Dorian.
Yeah. Proverbially, I may not wear the same belt and suspenders, I do wear the same belt and suspenders, I should say. Mr. Dorian, of course, was known throughout the city as always wearing both. But, you look at this project, we look at it the exact same way as we would any other large-scale development project. The tenets, the objectives of the city auditor are these. Number one, how do we maximize our return on investment as a city? Meaning if we're investing capital dollars, how do we maximize that? And how do we limit our exposure is number two. And third, how do we maximize cross-utilization? So when this deal came to the table and it actually started getting traction and coming together in a very realistic way, the very quick unified discussions with the mayor, the city council president, and myself were, we want to invest in the same way that we would invest any other capital project to make it successful, but we're not investing in the stadium. Because frankly, in 10 years, and I do not believe this to be true, I believe soccer will be here to stay. Every data point, every single day we grow 50 new people in our community. Those individuals with diverse backgrounds are more committed to MLS and soccer than our current residents.
Right.
I firmly believe that.
As the city becomes more diverse, it's
absolutely
clearly you can go to any of the indoor sports facilities and see that there's soccer's super huge. Mm-hmm.
But as city auditor, we have to make sure what happens if it's not there in 10 years. And that's something that we had to be very clear on. And factually, right now, the investments that we're making, utilities, roads, land acquisition, that's for the development surrounding. And we all know every housing study, we have a dearth in housing. We're investing in capital projects right now that are required of our city to be successful. And you brought up something very important, which is the taxable valuation. As auditor, I'm watching a struggling Columbus City Schools. Mm-hmm. Our taxable valuation is not strong. And that is partially because the best things about our economy, which is like Ohio State, Ohio Health, Nationwide Children's Hospital,
untaxed.
They're tax exempt.
Right.
And so if we can do more to taxable, to create more taxable valuation, it will have downstream effects.
We're just about out of time, but Michael Ganadakis brought this up. I'm sure other people are concerned about is what happens 15 or 20 years down the road. This was the same bill of goods, they might say, that was sold to them 20 years ago with the city participation in improving the arena district for Nationwide Arena. And now the public owns that too. There is no guarantee in this, ultimately.
I think I'll take this because it's two different ways. One, it's the stadium site.
Right. They're two different things. And
yeah.
I'm talking about the stadium site. The new
stadium.
The new stadium site. Yeah, the new stadium. What happens in 20 years is exactly what we've tried to eliminate our exposure to at the city. And it's not that I don't want the Haslams to be widely successful or the Edwards family, but my hat is for the city of Columbus. We are not investing in a stadium and we're not putting a single dollar into that. And so, same with respect to Nationwide Arena. We are limited in our exposure in that. If the money's come through with respect to the casino taxes, we pass it through. But our job is to try and create pathways for economic development in the private sector. But as the auditor, We're not putting a dime into the stadium.
We have about 30 seconds.
Well, I just would add that, you know, from a long-term standpoint, we've been investing in parks for years, and now our residents today are benefiting from that. Goodale, Franklin, those types of parks have been around from years ago investment. These new parks will be years worth of, you know, investment return for thousands of residents for the future. So these are long-term permanent resident investments that will benefit all of our residents.
Tony Collins, Executive Director of the City of Columbus Recreation and Parks Department, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And Megan Kilgore, Columbus City Auditor, welcome to the show and thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Ann.
And Emily Bench of Columbus Business First, thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Ann.
That's it. This has been All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.